is today's our new live stream. We're live streaming from Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. Today is Friday, November 30th, and we're live streaming, and we're doing a Skype teaching with our family, with our the body of Christ out in Busia, Kenya, Africa, specifically with Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries. So I want to welcome everybody once again, everybody who's there today. It's great to see you guys, and also the whole live stream family going across Africa and even India, Asia, and a little bit here in Africa. So today it's a hot topic. It's a hot topic because it's a controversial topic, what we're going to be talking about today. It's a topic that has caused a lot of controversy in the church over the years, especially over maybe the last 50 years, 60 years, but even over the centuries. It's caused a lot of problems in the church because this is all about what does the Bible have to say about wealth, provision, riches, and resources? What does the Bible have to say about money? That's what we're going to look at today. And, you know, you can't get away from money, because the richer you get, the more money you want. The rich want more money, and the poor want money. Everybody wants money. Is that true? Everybody wants money. And money in itself is not a problem. Because here in 1 Timothy 5... Don't have to turn there. We'll stick to Genesis. In 1 Timothy 6, 10, it says, "For the love of money, for the love of money is the root of all evil." So if we can get rid of the love of money, then we won't have a problem when God gives us money. So we got to get rid of the love of money. The Bible said, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your mind, your soul, your strength, and your heart," right? Right? Love your God. Love God, not money. Right? So a lot of preachers, a lot of believers, they love money more than they love God. And even Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 6, you can't serve mammon and you can't serve God. You can't love God and love mammon. You either serve one and hate the other. You will love one or hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Right? So we're going to look at that today. So we're going to, first of all, I teach all of this in context of what we've been looking at lately concerning the will of God, sonship, walking by faith, asking and praying. Right? We're still talking about all those things, but today we're going to look at it from a different perspective concerning money. All right? Concerning the will of God, concerning our sonship, concerning praying, asking, all these different things, okay? So my introduction here, is that it was never God's will nor his intent for mankind to be poor or to have needs. It was never God's will. Never. Ever. Was it ever God's will for man to be poor or to have needs? And we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at that, all right, from the Bible. Any poverty or any need, you know, people say, I need this, I need that, I need a car, I need a wife, I need a husband, I need a house, I need more money. That's need, need, need. But in God, there is no needs. There's no needs in God, all right? So any poverty or needs upon this planet, we're on this planet, right? We're on planet Earth, right? Yeah, you're not on Mars or Pluto or Venus. You're on the Earth. All right. All right. In the history of mankind is because of the fall of man. Every poverty, every source of poverty, everything that we have need of on this planet is because of the fall of mankind. It's all because of the fall. Meaning these things did not exist before the fall in the Garden of Eden. There was no poverty in the garden. There was no needs in the garden. There was none. There was none at all. And we're going to look at that today, okay? So, even for my even for the live stream audience, if anybody has a problem with money, they got a problem with God. They don't have a problem with me. They got a problem with God. Because a lot of people, they preach against money. They preach against money. And then you've got the other guys, that's all they that's all they preach on is money. That's all they do. You know who they are. The wealth and health preachers. That's all they preach on. Money, 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 money. Right? That's all you hear them talking about is money. But I'm not that kind of preacher, right? I just don't teach on money, right? I teach on everything. I teach on the whole counsel of God. Right? You know me by now, right? Well, you should know me anyhow. If you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. Okay. So, our foundation, you're at Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1, chapter 1. Verse 26 to 28. 26 to 28. Let me read 26. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, our likeness, and let them have complete authority, dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." Three key words in verse 26. Three key words. Okay, so for the YouTube video, we do a lot of Hebrew and Greek. So we got the first one here. It's Strong's number 6754. Definition, we got image, a representative figure, or a resemblance. That's for the word image. Image. God created us in His image. And then we've got this other word. It's the word likeness, right? God created us in His image and His likeness. Now that word, it's Strong's number 1823 for the YouTube video. It literally has likeness, similitude, similar, something that appears like, resemblance, model, and shape. It's too bad you don't have the notes. You should have had the notes with you. But anyhow, that's not my fault. Last word is dominion. God gave them dominion. Dominion. That's Strong's number 7287. And key definitions for this word dominion, we have to have dominion, to rule. To rule, to dominate, to prevail against, to reign. We got the word reign. Jesus reigns forever. There it is right there. To reign and to take possession. I can see the wind blowing back there. Verse 27. That's okay. Verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image and likeness of God, God created man. Male and female, He created man. Man. So, key word, in verse 27, we've got the word create. Created. It's used three times in one little verse. Three times. Did you notice that? Three times. It's Strong's number 1254. It's a very common word for those who know a little bit of Hebrew. It's the word bara. Bara. Literally means to form something. Formative process. But to form something. To make something. Okay? Last verse in Genesis 1, we have, "And God blessed them," man, "and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all of its vast resources," this is the Amplified, "in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth." All right? So, we got some key words here in verse 28. Key words. This is foundation. This is foundation for wealth. All right? So we got the word, key word is blessed. God blessed man. Blessed. Literally, the word blessed, 1288, Strong's number 1288, it means abundantly. Abundance. Greatly. Greatly. Great. As a benefit. Prosperous. Prosperity. That's what that word in the word blessed. All right? That's your foundation. The other key word is fruitful. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful, it's Strong's number 6509, literally means to bear fruit, to be fruitful, to grow and increase. To grow and increase. To grow. God wants us to grow and increase, to be fruitful in the work of the Lord, in the kingdom. God has not changed his mind. Because this was given before the fall of man. The other word is the word multiply. Multiply. It's Strong's number 7235. Literally it means to be or become much, many, or great. To become great. To bring in abundance. To bring in abundance. Literally means, from a primitive root, to increase in whatever aspect. God wants us to increase in all areas of our lives according to His will, because we're His children. Most of you probably have children. How many have children there? How many have children? Put up your hand. How many children? Do you want your children to increase? Of course you do. That's normal. It's natural as a parent wanting your children to increase, right? For the kingdom of God, of course, according to the will of God. And also has the idea of to be in authority. To be in authority. All right? Okay. It goes on here to say to enlarge, to excel, to exceed, to be full of, to be or make great, to grow up, make to multiply, to nourish, and to be plenteous. All in that one little word. That's a lot. That's a lot. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. 8 to 16. Let's start with verse 8 in chapter 2. It says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. He put the man in the garden. Meaning, he formed the man outside of the garden and he put the man in the garden. So the key word here is the word Eden. The Garden of Eden. Why did he call it the Garden of Eden? Why? He could have called it the Garden of Gabriel. He could have called it the Garden of Alice. He could have called it the Garden of whatsoever. But he called it the Garden of Eden. This word Eden, very interesting little word. It's Strong's number, the Hebrew word is 5730. Literally means a luxury, dainty, delight, and pleasure. That's what it means. And this word, 5730, it's rooted in 5727, which literally means, again, we got the word luxury, to delight yourself, and to live voluptuously. Voluptuously. Wow. That's the garden that God had put Adam in. And you know, if you've listened to my teachings long enough, you know that we're back in the garden through the new creation. We're back in the garden. Not physically, but spiritually, we're back in the garden. Okay? Verse 9. And out of the ground of the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we've got trees, we got the tree of life, and we got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So this word life, the tree of life, not the tree of death, but the tree of life. Life. The Hebrew word, it's Strong's number 2421, literally means to live and not to die. What did God say? The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will what? You will live? No. He said you will die. So if Adam had eaten from the tree of life, he would have lived. He would have never fallen. He would have lived physically, and he would have lived spiritually. But he died physically, and he died spiritually. Okay? So this word also means to keep alive, to make alive, to keep alive, to leave alive, to give life, to nourish, to preserve, to recover, to repair, to restore to life, to save, and to be whole. To be whole. Very interesting. Verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. Verse 11, the name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah. Where is the gold? There's gold in the garden. I like gold. You like gold? Who doesn't like gold? If you don't like gold, you're stupid. You can buy a lot of things with gold. You can buy houses, new buildings, new cameras, printers, cars, jets, helicopters, submarines, ships, trains, whatever. You can buy it all with gold. Yeah. You can get rid of your motorcycle and buy a car. Oh, okay. I'll leave your motorcycle alone. Verse 12, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there also. Verse 13, the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. 14, the name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. To tend and to protect it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat of every other tree. But that one tree. All right. Let's move on here. Go to Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Yeah. If you had the notes, you'd already be there. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Amplified. Proverbs 13:22. Yeah. Yeah. You shall have your notes. I'm very disappointed. But anyhow, I'll get over it. So the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. So who's the righteous? Who's the righteous? Thank you. Next one, go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Yes, that's right after Proverbs. I'm making it easy for you. Ecclesiastes 2:26. Chapter 2. Verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. So the word says that God gives the labor to the sinner so that the sinner can give his wealth to the saint. Hallelujah! Amen. See, I got him shouting now. It's about time. I thought you guys were sleeping. Is Lydia there? Is that Lydia in the orange? With the orange hat? Where's Lydia? Okay, there she is. Okay, thank you. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament. New Testament. Matthew. Matthew 6. Verse 24 to 34. 24 to 34. Starting with verse 24, no one could serve two masters. That's what I said in the beginning. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. Impossible. The richest men in the world serve money and not God. Money is their God. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. The birds. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are you not more value than a bird? Of course you are. Because you're created in God's image. Birds were not created in God's image. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 29. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory had not arrayed himself like one of these. Verse 30. This is very important here. Verse 30. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The reason why God cannot feed his children and clothe them and provide their needs is because we have little faith. Yeah, I'll be teaching on faith. Next teaching, I think I'll be teaching on faith. 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles, the sinners, seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows that we need all these things that the Gentiles are going after. He knows that you need them. He knows. Don't go to God with your needs. Don't. He already knows you got needs. He's not stupid like us. God is smart. Amen? Thank you. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What things? What things? The things that the Gentiles are seeking after. Those things. He said, those things will be added unto you. My mom said the other day, she goes, you sound mad when you're preaching. I said, I am mad. I am mad. Like my hat? England. Like my hat? England! Yay! All right. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians. Real fast. 8:9. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you are becoming progressively acquainted, this is the Amplified, with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, His kindness, His gracious generosity, in that though He was so very rich, where? Before, when He walked this earth, Jesus was very rich. Even as God the Word, He was very rich, but even on this earth, He was rich. He was. Jesus was rich. Yet for your sake, 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 He became so very poor in order that by His poverty, by becoming poor, you might be enriched. Amen. Amen. Good. 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 9. Next chapter over. One chapter over. Verse 8. My God is able to make all grace. God is able. God is able to make all grace come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance. Furnished in abundance. Furnished in abundance for every good work. Ah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16. And then 20. So let's go to 16. For it was in Him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created and exist through Him, by His service, and in and for Him. Verse 20. And God purposed that through Him, His Son, Jesus, at the cross, all things should be completely reconciled back. That's the Amplified. That's the Greek. Completely reconciled back to Him. Whether on earth or in heaven, as through Him made peace by means of the blood of His cross. Now, in the next weeks to come, I'm going to be teaching on these verses in great detail. But make sure you got your notes. Make sure you got your notes, Mr. Bishop. No, you don't have a need of printer. All your needs are met. You need faith. jeez, I tell you. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hurry up. Got a live stream here. Verse 17 and 18. 17 and 18, chapter 6. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, that's mammon, but on God. Set your hope on God. Set your hopes on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God, who richly provides, richly, not just provides, richly, richly, going back to the garden where you put the gold, right? Verse 18. Yeah. Charge them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal and generous of heart, ready to share with others. Right? People who love money, they don't love to share. That's called greediness. Greed. Greed. But as believers, we're not to be greedy. But at the same time, when God gives us money supernaturally, we got to make sure that we give the money where the Holy Spirit leads us. Because it's His money. It's not your money, it's His money. You're just a steward of the money. And that's why I teach on sonship. A son has no will of his own. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So if Jesus gave money, He gave money because the Father told Him to give the money to whom He gave the money to. So when God gives us money, we give money where God tells us to give money. All right. So I want to make this video a little short. Though I don't want to go too long. So my final comment, now this is a little bit personal because me and Gabriel, we talk during the week. We make video calls. Sometimes Alice is there, you know, sometimes the children are there. Sometimes Gabriel has some pastor friends with him. But one day me and Gabriel were talking and Gabriel said he had a motorbike. Everybody knows that Gabriel has a motorbike, right? Is that right, eh? Okay. So, I said, there's nothing wrong having a motorbike. That's good. That's good. Because a motorbike is better than walking. And a motorbike is better than taking the bus sometimes. Right? But I said, maybe God wants you to have a car. Wow. Yeah. Maybe God wants you to have two cars. Why not? One Gabriel, one for Alice. Maybe God wants you to have a van to pick people up to go to church. Huh? Yeah. That's the way you got to think. And also, what about computers? What about printers? Huh? No, you don't need them. Because the computers are already out there on this planet. There's already computers on this earth. There's already printers. Paper. It's all out there. The wealth of the wicked. The printers of the wicked. The computers of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. You understand that? Are you getting my point? Even when it comes to clothes. Yeah, books, Bibles, books, iPads. A good iPad is $1,000, Canadian, $1,000. A good one, a really good one. Yeah. So, we've already talked about this. I'm going to wrap it up now. And like I said, all of this, everything I've been teaching, everything I taught today, and everything I taught in the past, knowing the will of God, go to God to know His will concerning a car, concerning a house, concerning printers. You go to Him because all those things are already on this planet. They're already here. And according to Proverbs 13:22, they belong to the saint. They belong to the righteous.